Amen. Worship team, thank you, guys. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. Bow your heads with me, please. Father, thank you for this wonderful day that you have provided for us. God, Darnisa said it, you're a good God. You really are. You do everything well. Thank you that you smile when we get in your way and try to throw our own little ideas in there. And God, we know you don't need our help, but you do want our obedience. And so today, God, this group in here today, we surrender our will to you. God, I often say this. I pray, God, that you would live your life through us so that our unsaved neighbors and cousins and aunties and coworkers, God, when they peer over the fence of our lives, they would really see you and not us. So I pray, God, that you would take these words that have been scribbled on this paper, God, and anoint them, and that you would anoint the ears of the hearers today to hear what you are saying through this time. And so we love you and honor you. And in Jesus' name we pray. And everyone said, amen. Again, I'm so glad to see all of you here today. You know, 1 week before Easter, this has been described as Palm Sunday. And today, I'd like to look at an item or a situation we find in the book of John, John chapter 13, John chapter 13. And allow me to set the scene. When you read the Bible, I want you to read it like you're actually there. In our reading that our staff is going through, we're reading through the whole Bible, and so right now we're in the life of David. And I love his story, and it's like I'm right there when he's doing those great feats, right? And so Jesus has foretold of his death to the disciples, and of course they couldn't fully understand what he was talking about. Due to all the miracles that he had performed, they, like many others, fully expected the throne of David to be restored right there in their lifetime. They are now located in a room for what has been described as the Last Supper. Now let's start at verse 1 of John chapter 13. I'm going to read from the Amplified Version. It says, "Now before the Passover feast, Jesus knew that his hour had come and it was time for him to leave this world and to return to the Father. Having greatly loved his own who were in the world, he loved them and continuously loves them with this perfect love to the end, to eternity. It was during supper then that the devil had already put the thought of betraying Jesus into the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son." I wrote in my notes here, it must have been hard for Simon to know that he is only remembered for being the daddy of the betrayer. And when it was written, they all knew who Simon was. Could you imagine the looks he got walking to and fro in Galilee? Man. That Jesus, knowing that the Father had put everything into his hands, that he had come from God and was now returning to God, he got up from supper, took off his outer robe, and taking a servant's towel, he tied it around his waist. The Apostle John is there in the room watching this unfold, and he is giving us this eyewitness account of everything that is going on. It's like we are right there in the room with them. And in the Jewish culture, when you came as a guest to a dinner, the host would have one of the servants perform a task that we see Jesus about to perform here. Now at this meal, they were reclining at a table called the triclinium. It was this U-shaped table that they reclined on pillows and ate their meal with their feet exposed. They didn't sit on chairs like we would see in the picture of the Last Supper or at your dinner. They didn't have that. Now Jesus gets up from the table and grabs this towel. Now, all of you here should have been given a towel. Do you have a towel? If you don't have a towel, I want the greeters to make sure you have a towel. I want you to have a towel. If you don't have a towel, get a towel. This towel represents your willingness to submit, surrender, and serve. And let me say it again. This towel in your hand represents your willingness to submit and to surrender and to serve. Now, Cole, why don't you come up here? Why don't you kind of recline here on the seat right there? Yeah, just relax right there. He's reclining. Now Jesus has this towel, and he goes and gets a basin and begins to pour water in the basin. Now the disciples, because of their Jewish heritage, fully knew the role he was now playing as a servant. They're watching this like, huh? What's he doing? This role of a foot washer was not just for any servant. It was reserved for the lowest servant in the master's house. At times, you can preach a sermon without saying a word. This is what Jesus was doing. This was not a job for a rabbi. Most rabbis would not humble themselves enough to take on this role of a servant. What is interesting about this story, the life of Jesus, was at this time, the devil had already moved upon Judas to betray Jesus. And as Jesus went around this U-shaped table, went to Thomas, and went to Matthew, went to John, and he went around this table. He came to the place at the table where Judas was at. Now, can you imagine this? Jesus knowing everything. And he comes to this place where the soon-to-be betrayer was reclining. And he gets down on his knees and begins to unbuckle and latch Judas's sandals. And he takes them off. And he begins to wet his feet with this towel and begins to wipe his feet clean. You got to imagine, there's some eye contact. Huh? There's some eye contact between Jesus and Judas. Oftentimes, during a moment where there's the eye contact, there is a message that is delivered. Have you ever delivered a message with your eyes? Ladies, I know you can do it. Stay right there, son. Stay right there. He's on his knees. Water, basin, a towel. Cleaning the feet of his soon-to-be betrayer. At some point, as I said, their eyes meet. I don't know what the message was that was communicated through the eyes. Perhaps it was, man, you know I know. And I can imagine Judas's eyes trying to communicate back to the Lord's eyes, what do you mean? What? Why are you looking at me like that? You know what? You know when you're guilty, you say, why are you looking at me like that? And Jesus wipes his feet and cleans them. Some of you today may, when I'm done, make a decision to leave that towel I gave you here on your seat. I ain't taking that towel because this towel represents something. Having this towel type of ministry involves a few things. One, just to bow down to someone, is hard for our ego, isn't it? You can put your shoes on, Cole. Write this down, submission. Submission. Submission, the action or fact of accepting or yielding to a superior force or to the will or authority of another person. Submission. Philippians 2:8 says this. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. If you and I want to imitate this type of Christ-like behavior, I must be willing to submit. What's this? Though it may look like he was submitting or humbling himself unto Judas, he was not. He was submitting himself to the will of the Father. Let me say it again. Even though it looked like he was submitting himself unto Judas, he was not. He was submitting himself unto the Father. There are going to be times in your life that when you are walking in submission to the Father, it appears to the outside observer that you're humbling yourself before a person who does not want the best for you. Now, listen to this. When you walk in submission to the Lord, to the outside observer, it's going to look many times like, oh, they walking all over you. Judas is laying there about to betray the Lord. And the Lord bows before this guy, takes his sandals off, begins to clean his feet. And so it will look at many times to those who are looking at your life like, man, you too soft. Now listen to this. Before you get pushed out of shape by what I'm saying, what I taught on last week has to go hand in hand with what I'm saying today. We talked about being close to the Lord. And one of the benefits of being close to the Lord and not walking at a distance from the Lord is I get to hear him with more clarity. Right? We have to shorten the distance of our walk with Christ because when I walk closely with him, I can hear him speak with more clarity because he will tell me when to demonstrate this type of behavior. Are you listening to me? If I walk closely with him, I can hear him clearly. And he will tell me, and he don't shout. He don't demand. He don't scream. He whispers. And when he'll whisper at times, he will say, leave it alone. Have the Lord ever whispered to you, leave it alone? And in your flesh, if you leave it alone, you're worried about what others may say. Well, listen, no. But the Lord whispers, leave it alone. Let it go. Does anyone still owe you money? Some people are a trip. Because they got nerve, maybe. They see you. They know they owe you. Hey, what's up, man? How's it going, man? And in your mind, you owe me money. Can't you at least acknowledge, man, you know I owe you money? They would eat. Have you ever met those type of people before? Oh, my goodness. And you want to get rude with them. And you hear the Lord saying, let it go. I got you. That's submitting. Okay, Lord, I'll submit. Number two, S, surrender. Surrender means to give up completely, agree to forgo, especially in the favor of another. To give up completely. Or agree to forgo, especially in the favor of another. The action of yielding one's person or giving up the possession of something into the power of another. Surrender. Yielding. John 6:38 says this. It says, for I came down from heaven not to do my own will, but the will of him that sent me. To walk with this Tao type of ministry, you must be willing to lay aside your own will. In the flesh, I'm not willing to wash his feet. I know what he's about to do. I know it. And watch this. They walked up the dusty, everyone say dusty, dusty, dirty roads of Galilee. And these are fellas. Women keep their feet kind of nice. Amen? Amen. But fellas, you know, we kind of rough and rugged. You know. And so these are fellas, you know, and so their feet kind of rough and rugged, right? And he bows before this soon to be betrayer, and he takes upon this role of a servant with this Tao ministry, and he completely surrenders to the will of the Father. Many times we say that, you know, oh Lord, use me. I wanna follow you. Be careful what you say. Huh? Be careful what you say. Because if you communicate to the Lord that you really want to follow him and do his will, there are gonna be certain situations that he's gonna take you through. The Bible says this, when he was baptized in the River Jordan and the Spirit of God came upon him, right? It says this. What it did not say was the devil led him to the wilderness to be tempted. It didn't say that. It said how the Spirit of the Lord, the Spirit of God, led Jesus to the wilderness to be tempted, to be ready for ministry. What's this? As you progress more in ministry, no matter what level it is, you will have to go through a period of wilderness, an area of wilderness, where it's just you, the Lord, and temptations. Huh? And he's creating situations to help you crucify all those fleshly desires. Because I tell you right there, if you're still walking in the flesh, you're not gonna pick up this towel. I'm not washing nobody's feet. I ain't submitting to not to him. I'm not surrendering my will. And if you don't, then you'll never do anything great for the Lord. You must lay aside your own will. You must lay aside your own preference. You must lay aside your own way of doing things in order to fulfill the will of the Father. In this day and age in which we live in an age where there are many options. And it has creeped into the mindset of men and women of the church. Now, we want many options because we want our preference. I want to pick. Well, the Lord says, I want you to be here. I want to pick. Huh? And sometimes having so many options, it makes it hard. You ever go to a buffet? Like, man, what do I pick? In John 13:4, it has this phrase. We read it. The phrase is, a couple of phrases. He riseth from supper and laid aside his garment and took a towel and girded himself. This move was very symbolic. He laid aside his own will. He laid aside his own needs and picked up a towel of a servant. This King of Kings and Lord of Lords laid aside his own preferences, his own desires, and picked up this towel of a servant, signifying, I'm ready to submit and I'm ready to surrender to you, Lord. Which brings us to our last point for today, and we'll be here for a minute. Serving. To be a servant. To be of use. To comply with the commandments of someone. Now, I have never been, but there are a number of people in this building today who have served in the armed forces. Can I see your hands if you've served? Yeah. And when your superior told you to do something, what was your response? Say it again. Yes, sir. Yes, ma'am. Was it ever? Well, let me think about it. I doubt is, well, why you aren't asking me? It was never that. When your superior gave you a directive, you follow the directive. Amen? And it's a shame that a worldly system operates better in some ways than the church. While I was under the leadership of the former pastor, Pastor Sam, he would give me directions. I'm not sure if because the way my father raised me, the time I was raised, I don't know, but I understood how to take orders. Does anyone here understand how to take orders? I remember he would, in one instance, I was working in San Francisco, and he told me, I need you to stay late so you can pick up someone from the airport. What was my answer? Yes, sir. Same particular evangelist, he called me a few days later and says, I need you to get up early and come take this person back to the airport. What's my answer? Yes, sir. We had one evening, Sunday evening meeting, and somebody's going to be here, some state senator or somebody. And we came to church that Sunday after evening, and so I went to his office, and I was dressed, you know, with a shirt like this. So he's sitting at his table, and he looks up at me, and he says this. He says, he just looked up, looked down, and he says, no tie, huh? What he said was no tie. What I heard is, go back home, put a tie on, and then come back. Do you think I did? You ain't my daddy. I ain't coming back to the church. I'm leaving the church. Here's what I did. I turned back around, came down those steps, got in my car, went back home, put a tie on, and came back. If you're not willing to serve and to submit and to serve, don't pick up this towel. Leave this towel right here on the seat. I won't know whose towel it is. There's no name on it. Because this right here represents submission. Huh? This towel right here represents surrender. Your own preference, your own way of doing things. He wasn't my daddy. Amen? You ain't got the right to tell me what to do. I'm grown. I got a wife and kids. I went right back home. Found me a towel and came right back. Back in Philippians 2:8, there's a phrase there which really hits home to this type of serving. And it says this, and became obedient, talking about the Lord, unto death, even the death of the cross. Now, what's this? There have been others who had been crucified. So it was not the first crucifixion. But this death on the cross, he had to carry a huge load. And not only that, he fully understood that carrying this load meant that there was going to be something he had never faced before, and that was a separation between him and his Father. But it says he became obedient. Now listen to this, not for his own benefit. Sometimes God's going to ask you to pick up this towel and to serve, and it's not for your own benefit. Are you listening to me? It's not for your own benefit. Sometimes he's going to tell you to get up out of your bed and go pray, and it is 3:00 in the morning. And it's for somebody else. It ain't for your kids. Your kids fine at home. Somebody else's kids. And God said, I need you to pray. This here represents your willingness to serve. While the Lord is not requiring us to die on the cross, if you notice, there's three letters in this word obedient, D-I-E is in obedience. He's not requiring us to die on the cross. He is requiring us to die to ourselves. And when you pick up this towel, you are demonstrating your willingness to be obedient, to die to yourself. The greatest temptation that you will face doesn't come from the devil, from your own flesh. The devil has been defeated. I'll say it again. The devil has been defeated. The devil has been defeated. But you still live in the flesh. And there's the battle. And there are times when you don't want to pick this up because it represents submitting. How many married fellas we have here today? Any married fellas? All right, fellas, don't look to your left. Look straight at me. And just show with your eyes, I'll be able to see it. At times, it's hard submitting to that wife when she wants to, isn't it? Don't just look at, I see in the eyes. Okay, all right. Man. It's hard because of that flesh. Watch this. God oftentimes uses those close to us in the process or as an instrument in crucifying that flesh. Huh? I'll say it again. God often uses those who are close to us as an instrument in crucifying our flesh. Because there are times you just don't want to give in. All right, here we go. So last night, we're at home. Ola's already in the bed. And she's got this music playing on this Amazon Echo. And I wanna do something different. I don't wanna hear that. She already has it on. So I go into the bedroom and I say this. I say, Alexa, stop. The she's already listening. I'm wrong. And so I get in the bed, and she says this to me. She says, that was disrespectful. I'm a man. I say, what? The right answer would have been, you know what, I'm sorry. I didn't pick up the towel last night, fellas. I said, all right. That flesh is something else, right? And you have to crucify it. And if you don't, it will rise up and slay you. The towel ministry means I'm willing to submit. And submitting to the Lord at times looks like you're giving in to others. And when you're feeling that sort of way, you got to humble yourself. Jesus said this to the Father. He said, listen, there's another way we can do this, let's try that, right? But he doesn't end the conversation there. He says, nevertheless, not my will, but what? Thine will be done. He humbled himself to the will of God. Being able to submit yourself to the Father means that you got to take the focus off of what you see in the natural. Because when he tells you, let it go, leave it alone, say you sorry, you have to be willing to do it for him, even though you don't feel like doing it for the people here. Huh? Yes. He's not requiring us to die on the cross. He is requiring us to die to ourselves. To serve the Lord, I must comply with the commands of my Savior. To serve the Lord, I must comply with the commands of my Savior. So what my Savior says, it's time to X. It's time to fast. It's time to let that go. I must comply with that, for he's my Savior. I must be willing to do that. The towel, this towel in your hand that you have, represents your willingness to submit, to surrender, and to serve. And it's to the Lord. But in our eyes, at times, it looks like we're doing it to others. And that's okay. To be humble and to be meek takes an enormous amount of strength. To not care about what people say or think of you. How many here today have been accused of being too soft, too easy? Anybody here? Yeah. They all get all over you. In more cases than not, it's not that people are getting over on you. It's this. I'm submitting myself to the Lord. And he says for me to let this go. He's always saying that to you then. Okay. He is. And it's okay. It's okay that others think that they're getting over on you. In reality, they're not. Because you fully know what they're doing. It's not like they fooling you, right? And watch this. Every time they think they're getting over on you, right, and you are doing it per the direction of the Lord elevates you. And what they thought they had gotten from you, you have more than that now. And while they go lower, God continues to elevate you higher and higher and higher. And every time they think they've stolen something from you, God gives you much more. Amen? Amen. Now, there may be someone here today who's never made a decision to submit or to surrender or serve the Lord. And watch this. You can be in the church all your life and never make that decision, right? I was in the church all my life and didn't make that decision till later on in my life. Today would be a great day for you to make that commitment. I want you to understand that like 2,000 years ago, like he did then, Jesus has moved around to your side of the table. And he wants to wash your feet. He came to Peter. Peter says, you will never wash my feet. Jesus answered with this. He said this, unless I wash you, unified says this: we can have nothing to do with each other. And so you may think that, no, I don't need the Lord. No. If he doesn't wash you, you have no part with him. And he's at your side of the table. And he's there willing to wash you and to make you clean. But you have to be willing enough to allow him to do it. And what I'm saying today is, please allow Jesus to wash you and to make you clean, to wipe away the dirt of your life, the filth of sin, the dirt of your past. Allow him to make you clean. Stand to your feet, everyone. So if you're here today and you've never submitted yourself to the Lordship of Jesus, I want to pray with you and lead you to the Lord Jesus, that he could wash you, cleanse you, and make you whole. And then I also want to pray for others who may just be struggling in the area of submission. And as John sings this song, I'll wait here at the altar for you. If you want to come, we will pray together. We won't be here long. Go ahead and sing, John, if that's you. Hallelujah.
Lord, I
today could be your day. James McMurray, we're going to pray for you. James, come on up here. We're going to pray for you as you get ready to take leave, you and your wife. God's going to go with you. You know that. Yeah. What day do you leave? Thursday. You trust him? Yeah. Yeah. Sister Velma, come up here, Sister Velma. Can I share a little bit or no? Yeah. So, you know, James, he's leaving this Thursday to go to Maryland for a little while. There's a special cancer treatment procedure that they're going to be involved with in Maryland. And so we're going to pray for them before they take their leave, right? They're in God's hands, right? And they've made a decision to trust the Lord, right? And to submit to him, surrender to him, right? And to serve him. And no matter what it looks like, right? And they have not been moved by what it looks like and what it sounds like. And so what we're going to do, we're going to mix our faith together with their faith, right? Because faith moves God, right? Now faith is. And so we're going to pray. Father, thank you for James and for Jamie and their entire family. Thank you that you are James's healer. Whether you speak the word miraculously and do it, or because you have given vital information to researchers and doctors, God, we don't care how you do it, but we know you're going to do it. And you've already established it in the heavenlies. And as James and Jamie walk through the process, we who are on the outside looking, our faith is being built as well as we see the faith of this couple trust you. And so though we do not thank you for this situation, we do thank you while we're in it, knowing that you are still God, you are still good, you have everything in control, hallelujah. The devil will not get any victory, hallelujah. He will not get any glory, hallelujah. Yes, and we anticipate hearing this great story of James being cancer-free and delivered and healed by the miraculous hand of Almighty God. And the unsaved onlookers in your life, James, who are looking now to see how you are responding to this bad news, they will come to know Jesus because of you and your faith in Christ. And so we thank you and honor you, O God, for being their healer and provider. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. 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 Hallelujah. 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 Listen, I just feel like if there's anyone else who needs prayer, if you need prayer for anything before we go, I want to pray for you. Anybody needs prayer, I want to pray. Anybody here, everyone good? Huh? You good? Anybody? Come quickly if you do. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Come quickly. Come quick. Hallelujah. Father, thank you for these two who are at this altar. God, you know what their needs are. God, you know what they're facing. God, you've promised never to leave them nor forsake them. God, you've been there for Jackie. You've been there for James all of their life. Thank you, O God, for the plans you have for them. God, give them supernatural grace, strength, and wisdom as they navigate through the ups and downs of life. Allow them to rest completely upon you. Allow them not to see what's going on around them or be disturbed by that, but just to trust you. For you are their provider, and we thank you for them. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Demetrius, come up here, son. You're going to give a closing prayer. Grab a mic. Are you glad you came today? Where's your towel at? Remember, this towel represents what? I'm submitting. I'm surrendering. Yes, you need prayer. Stay right here. And what else? I'm going to serve. Amen. Yes, yes. Father, thank you.